Well, good morning. Hey, this morning we're finishing up our series called Family Vacation, and we're asking one question this morning, and it's the question that's the title of your bulletin, or the title of the sermon, actually. It's, is it worth the fight? Is it worth the fight? That's the question we're going to kind of be exploring this morning. And here's the thing. I enjoy watching classic movies. Anybody with me? Anybody like classic movies? And some of you guys are like, the movies I like aren't classic. Yeah, they are. You're old. They're classics. One of my favorite things to actually do is to sit down with our kids and introduce them to the classic movies and cartoons I watched as a kid. And some of them, they're like, oh, this is awesome. Some are like, this is stupid. Why are we even watching this? And I'm like, are you kidding me? These are awesome. And so one of the classic movies that I haven't showed them yet, but I imagine I will at some point, are the Rocky movies. Anybody Rocky movies? Oh, yeah, Rocky fans. Here we go. There's actually a big fight last night, wasn't there? A big boxing fight last night. And so out of all the Rocky movies, though, I think Rocky III is one of my favorites. I don't think you can ever go wrong when you have Sylvester Stallone, Hulk Hogan, and Mr. T in one movie. I mean, that's pure awesomeness, right? And so if you remember Rocky III, you know that Rocky Balboa decided he was going to retire from boxing. And until he met Clubber Lang. Clubber Lang was played by Mr. T. And Clubber had a really big mouth, and he kept taunting Rocky, but Rocky never would fully agree to fight him until something happened. Anybody remember what happened? Rocky was getting agitated with all of Clubber's talk, but then he crossed a line. Clubber started talking about Rocky's wife. Uh-oh. And that's all it took. All of a sudden, it was personal, and Rocky accepted the challenge because the fight was no longer about him. It became a fight for his family. If you have a family, you also have a choice. You can choose to accept the fight, or you can choose to reject the fight. But don't make any mistake about it. The fight for your family is very real. Specifically, I want to challenge our men today. Ladies, don't check out on me because you need to fight for your family too. But men, the fight starts with us, right? You with me? The fight starts with us. Men, you need to know that Satan has already declared war on your family. That should honk you off, right? Your family has a target on them. Your enemy is gunning for your family. God has given you permission to fight for your family. In fact, it's more than that. God has given you the responsibility to fight for your family. So today we're going to talk about three little phrases that will help you not only get into this fight, but also win this fight. And they will all come from a story of a guy that you've probably never heard of. The man's name is Shema. His story is actually only two verses long, which means we don't know a whole heck of a lot about him. But these two verses tell us enough. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, 2 Samuel 23 is where we're going to be hanging out today. And the verse is right there if you want to follow along, or you can follow along in your Bible and do some underlining as I have. See my Bible? It's underlined. See? It's good stuff. And so we're going to jump in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11 through 12, and it says this, "Next to him was Shema, son of Agai, the Harahite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shema took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory." Shema was one of David's mighty men. Remember, we talked about a lot of David's mighty men a couple series ago when we talked had the series Chase the Lion, the sermon series. Remember that? And we talked about a lot of David's mighty men. This is one of the ones we didn't talk about, so it's cool that we get to go back and visit this. But even though Shema was one of the elites, he still found himself in an impossible situation. The army of the Philistines were bearing down on him and his fellow soldiers. The Philistines were among the most deadly fighting forces in the ancient world. They were a killing machine, quite like myself, and they were coming straight at the Israel. Oh, you guys laugh. Why is that funny? That wasn't a joke. No, I'm just joking. They were coming straight at the Israelites. Coming straight at the Israelites. So the Israelites did what you would expect them to do. They ran. They're like, I'm out of here. See ya. The Philistines were attacking, so the Israelites hightailed it out of there, all except Shema. Shema decided to stay and fight. And there are three phrases that come to mind from this story that are key in this fight for your family. And one of the first one is this. This is what matters. This is what matters. Everybody say that. This is what matters. Man, you guys are awake this morning. I haven't put you to sleep yet, huh? All right, good, good, good. So this is what matters. The key to any fight is knowing what you are fighting for, right? If you don't know what you're fighting for, you're not going to win, period. So it starts right there. It starts by recognizing what you're fighting for. It starts by deciding what matters. Shema decided what mattered. Look at 2 Samuel again, our verse. Said, when the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them, but Shema took a stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down. The Philistines were coming after the Israelites in a field full of lentils. What the heck is a lentil, right? Anybody eat lentils in here? No, nobody. Well, a couple of you. Well, maybe we should have you come up and explain. No, I'm just joking. So what is a lentil? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what a lentil is. They're kind of like a pea or a bean, right? They're like a pea or a bean. So this battle was actually going down in the middle of a pea field, right? And Shema decided that this pea field is worth fighting for. They can take my life, but they're not taking my pea field. That was like sort of a Braveheart quote, but not really, because Braveheart, he wouldn't have fought for a pea field. But Shema decided that this pea field was worth fighting for. He decided that the field of beans mattered. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't fighting for no pea field. You with me? I hate peas. Like, I can't stand peas. So if the Philistines were coming, I'm like, dude, just take them. I don't even care. Like, you want me to help bag them up for you? I ain't fighting for no pea field. Some of you may be more than willing to fight for your lentils, but not me. Uh-uh. Now, I'll fight for my steak. Yeah? You come after my steak, and it's on, like Donkey Kong. You better believe I'll fight for a double cheeseburger. I would definitely fight for a field of White Castle sliders. Anybody else with me? Yeah. I'm convinced that in the Bible, when it says manna, that was actually White Castle sliders. That's what they were eating, because they're just like gift. They're like manna from heaven. But there's no way I'm fighting for vegetables. Nuh-uh. No way. Unless it's sweet corn smothered in salt and butter, then I'll fight, because that's good. So at first glance, it seems like Shema may be a bit off his rocker. Either that or the dude just really likes peas, right? But if you dig a little deeper, you find out what really mattered to Shema. It's likely the Philistines were invading to carry off the Israelites' crops. I mean, that was actually their warfare in that day. In the ancient world, you didn't go to the grocery store to feed your family. Your family ate what you were able to grow or kill, and that's it. So an invading force that came to steal your crops was a really big deal. Shema wasn't just defending a field of peas. This fight wasn't about a bean field. It was about his people. He was defending these crops because they were needed to feed his people. He was fighting for his nation. He was fighting for his family. And that is what mattered. That's where the fight started for Shema, and that's where the fight starts for you. And like I said, I'm really challenging our men today. Men, this is what you have to decide. You have to decide what matters. You'll never win the fight until you make that decision. And you want to know what matters? Your marriage matters. Your marriage matters. Make sure your marriage is healthy. A healthy marriage is the best gift you can give to your kids. Now, I realize that some of you are single parents. I get that. But I also get that you could very well get married again someday. And you'll need to own this truth. Your marriage matters. It's worth fighting for. Every marriage has problems and struggles and issues and even times of crisis. But the difference is made in the decision to fight or flight. You can join the rest of the Israelites and run away, or you can stand with Shema and fight. Your marriage is worth fighting for. Your marriage matters. Your marriage is the foundation of your family, but you've got to fight for it. And men, it starts with you. It starts with you. Does your wife know that you fight for her? I didn't say that you fight with her. Any guy can do that, right? Any guy can fight with his wife, but a man will fight for his wife. Fight for her. So let me ask you, men, are you fighting for her? Are you pursuing her? Remember how you pursued her when you were dating? My wife reminds me often, you used to always rub my feet. Now you don't want to touch them. Yeah, because I was pursuing you then, right? Remember how you pursued her when you were dating? Remember how relentless you were in coming after her, making her know that you valued her? Remember how stubborn you were in this pursuit? You just wouldn't give up? You wouldn't give up the pursuit? Let me ask you one question, gentlemen. Why did you stop? And I need to ask myself this same question. Why did you stop? Why did you ever stop pursuing your wife? Why did you stop making her feel valued and loved? Why did you stop romancing her? Why did you stop? Well, because we're married, right? We're married now. Listen closely, men. She needs to be reassured every single day that you still love her. She needs to be reminded every day that you're chasing after her. She needs to hear all the time that you don't want anyone but her, and you never will. That's what it means to pursue your wife. And men, when you stop pursuing your wife, she will interpret that to mean that you have stopped fighting for her. That might not be how you see it, but it's absolutely how she sees it. And I'm telling you guys, she is worth fighting for. Your wife is worth fighting for. Your marriage is worth fighting for. Now, ladies, now that we got that out of the way, right? Let's get to the ladies. I told you not to check out on me because I've got some stuff for you. I know I'm hammering on the guys today, but you need to hear this. If your husband is not pursuing you, the reason might be him, but the reason might also be you. If your husband pursues you and you say something like, ugh, all you care about is sex, right? Guess what? The time is going to come when he just gives up his pursuit. Why pursue something that you can never catch? You're not married to Wile E. Coyote. Anybody ever watch Wile E. Coyote? It didn't matter how many times he failed or how many Acme products blew up in his face. He never caught the Roadrunner, but he never gave up his pursuit. I'm sorry, ladies, that is not your husband. That only happens in cartoons. That's not what your husband will do with you. If he knows he is pursuing something that he can never catch, he'll eventually just give up. The bottom line is that it's worth fighting for. Your marriage is worth fighting for, and men, it starts with you. Your wife is depending on you to fight for your marriage. Your kids are depending on you to fight for your marriage. And even beyond that, your friends are depending on you to fight for your marriage. Our church is depending on you to fight for your marriage. The second phrase that's key in the fight for your family is this: I'm not moving. I'm not moving. We always talk about stubbornness like it's a bad thing, but it's not always a bad thing. Chuck Knoll, the former, I can't believe I'm saying this word in church, Pittsburgh Steelers coach, Father forgive me, once said this quote, being stubborn is a virtue when you're right. It's only a character flaw when you're wrong. Right? When it comes to fighting for your family, stubbornness is not just a good thing. It's a great thing. You've got to be stubborn, persistent, unmovable, because it's not a fight that will be won quickly or easily. going back to our verse in 2 Samuel, when the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of peas, lentils, Israel's troops fled from them, but Shema took his stand in the middle of the field. You need to underline that in your Bible. If you're following along with your Bible, you need to underline that. Took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down. Shema took his stand in the middle of the field. Not on the edge where he could run away easily. Well, I'm going to defend this pea field from over here, and if they get too close, I'm hightailing it out of here, right? No, he took a stand in the middle. He took a stand right in the middle of the field. In other words, he told the Philistines, I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. Come get some, right? Right in the middle of the field. If you want to win the fight for your family, that's what you've got to do. And again, men, it starts with you. You've got to take your stand right in the middle of everything. Not close to an escape route. Not close to an easy out. You take your stand right in the middle and you let everyone know, I'm not moving. Your wife needs to know that you're not going anywhere, period. You are taking your stand, and come hell or high water, you're not moving. You are with her, you are beside her, and you are for her, period. Your kids need to know that you won't be moved. No matter what happens, no matter how they succeed or fail, no matter what, you are there, you are fighting for them, and you are not moving. You are in a fight. And you don't win a fight hanging around the edges. The Apostle Paul tells us in exactly what kind of fight we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. He wrote this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Make no mistake about it. This is a spiritual fight. Satan is gunning for you and your family. He goes on, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Stand. Do not move. That's how the fight is won. In his book called Fight, Greg Kershaw writes this, "God calls you to stand. Your enemy wants you to fall. So as God's warrior, there are only two acceptable actions. You're either standing or you're getting back up. Even if Satan trips you, you're not down forever. Get back up. Never stay down. Never stay down." Some of you have been tripped up. You've been knocked down. That's only a problem if you stay down. Man, I know what a lot of you are thinking. It's the same thing I'm thinking. I'm such a failure. I haven't fought for my family like I should. I seem to fail and fall all the time. I'm not the husband my wife needs. I'm not the father my kids need. I feel like a complete failure. I know you're thinking it. I am too. I've been tripped up and knocked down. So have you. But I don't have to stay down, and neither do you. And here's the reason why. It's the last phrase we need to remember to win this fight. And it's, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. This is the only reason we can win the fight. Because we're not in the fight alone. Go back to our story of Shema one more time. At first, it really looked like he was alone, right? I mean, he's standing in the middle of a pea field all alone, and the Philistines band together at a place where there's a field full of lentils. Israel's troops fled from them, but Shema took a stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down. Sure looks like he was alone to me. Until you finish reading the verse, it says, "But Shema took a stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory." The Lord brought about a great victory. Shema wasn't alone. He wasn't standing alone. He wasn't fighting alone. The Lord brought about a great victory. You are not alone. And again, men, hear me say this. You are not alone. You are not standing alone. You are not fighting alone. If you will commit to fight for what matters, you won't be fighting alone. If you decide to stand and not move, you won't be standing alone. I know you won't always feel it. I know you won't always see it. I know sometimes you will have a really hard time believing it, but God is fighting for you. You are not alone. And unlike Shema, you also have other people around you. We are currently actually signing up people for life groups. This is the reason why we push life groups and encourage everyone to be involved in one. So you have people who are there with you during the good times and during the trying times. People who are willing to stand with you and fight with you. The point is, you are not alone. Even if things are hard right now, you're not alone. If your marriage is struggling, you are not alone. If things are tough with your kids, you are not alone. Because I'm right there in that situation too. You are not alone. If you are fighting to live a life of purity, but it's really hard, you are not alone. If you are struggling to overcome the stuff in your past so you can fight for your family in the present, you are not alone. You are not alone because you worship a God named Jesus. You worship a God who gave his life for you on a cross. You worship a God who is more powerful than death itself and walked out of the tomb 3 days later. And his sacrifice for your sins means that you don't have to stay down. Amen? A couple of you thought that was good. I mean, Jesus is no longer in the tomb. I know sometimes we live like he's still in the tomb, but he's no longer in the tomb. So we don't have to live defeated. We can live in his grace and mercy. His sacrifice for your sins means that you don't have to stay down. And in fact, it means that your victory is already won. You are in a fight. But here's the thing. The fight is fixed. Jesus already won the victory for you. All you have to do is stand with him and refuse to move. It doesn't mean that it will always be easy, but it does mean that your victory is guaranteed. And I'd rather have that. Here's what we're going to do to close out the service in this entire series as we go into our next series. And I know I threw down the gauntlet today, especially for the men. I challenge you to decide what matters. I challenge you to stand and not move. And I told you, you're not alone. But now I'm going to prove it to you. Men, if you're ready to take a stand for what matters, if you're ready to fight for your marriage, if you're ready to stand and not move for your family, then I want you to symbolically stand right now. If that's you, if you're saying, I'm taking a stand right now, I'm not moving, I'm fighting, this is where it's at, I'm not going to move, then I want you to stand. If you're a man who's ready to fight, you're ready to stand and fight for your family, then stand up right now where you're at. Look around, men. Look around. You're not standing alone, right? You are not standing alone. You are standing with other men who are in the same fight. But most importantly, you are standing with Jesus Christ, who has already won the victory for you. Now, ladies, if there is a man of God who is standing up nearby you, show him you're with him by standing up right now beside him. We are all in a fight. But we're not fighting alone. We are called to take a stand. But we're not standing alone. Will you pray with me? Father God. Father, I thank you so much for this series and called Family Vacation. And I thank you for just how where we've come through this series, Father, and the things we've walked through and how dysfunctional family life really is. But Father, that's real life. We're all in a mess. And you actually came to clean up that mess. And Father, our life isn't perfect. It won't be until we reach eternity with you, Father. Our life is just about taking one step at a time closer towards you. And Father, I pray that the men of this church will really step up. I think, in my opinion, we've been lacking. It's almost like us men are sitting on the sidelines, and that's not how it should be. So Father, help us, encourage us to take a stand and say, this is where I'm putting my foot down, right in the middle of a pea field, and I ain't moving. And Satan, if you want some, come and get some. Because I got the Lord standing with me, and I got my brothers in Christ standing with me, and I got my family standing with me. And so you have no authority over me, and I ain't moving. So throw what you got at me, but guess what? I win in the end. Booyah. Father, help us, continue to encourage us, continue to raise up leaders in this church, continue to help us, continue to push more towards you, Father, in our lives and our daily walk. Help us to continue to reach out to you, but most importantly, too, is help us not to forget the people of Williams County, Ohio, the 22,000 people we talk often about who have no relationship with you. You have not called us to be a social club. You have called us to reach people for you. Help us to be a church willing to do that, willing to do whatever it takes short of sinning to reach people for you. And if people aren't excited about reaching other people, Father, I help you. I pray that you will create a spirit within inside them that just burns for the lost. The lost in this community and the world beyond. Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you've done currently up to this point in this church, and Father, everything you're about to do in the future. And when trying times come, help us to only realize that, oh, it's because we're in a fight and Satan's trying to trip us up. But we're going to take a stand together. We're not moving, and we're going to continue to go forward. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.